Well, I titled this message this morning, Jesus, the priceless treasure full of pleasure. Priceless treasure. Now, it all started 5 weeks ago when a young man that was disturbed about his spiritual condition, and he came to me and he said to me, I tried whatever I could to be a Christian and I'm still dead in sin. Can you please help? And a week later, another unbeliever who also comes to this church, comes to this gathering, who spoke to me and he said, I would do whatever it takes to become born again. And I just don't know what I'm missing. And 3 weeks ago, a young lady, I spoke to her, and I asked her, what is holding you back from becoming a Christian? And her reply was, I tried and I tried and I tried to become a Christian, and every time I tried, I failed miserably, and I have no idea what I'm missing. Do you know anyone like that? Maybe perhaps it's you that have tried time and time again to repent of your sin and to become truly born again with no evidence that there is a change in your life. Now, these three unbelievers whom I spoke to are among us. Their relatives, in fact, are here this morning. And these three unconverted souls, they know the basic foundation of how to be saved. It is not like they come off the street and they have no idea about the gospel. No. They know about the infinite holiness of God. They know that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God who came down and died for our sins and rose again. They know about His second coming. They also know about repentance and faith. But they still don't know what is missing in the yearning to be saved. Well, after I spent some time with each one of them, I discovered that they have one thing in common. I discovered that they all are missing a one single ingredient. One simple truth that without embracing it, it would make your faith as dead as the devil's faith. No matter how much you're passionate to be saved, without stretching your arms and hugging this simple truth with your heart, your prayers, your pleading with God to be saved won't go beyond this ceiling, and God will turn a deaf ear to your plea. And this simple truth is the key to the gates of heaven. It unlocks the bars of the iron bars of the gates of heaven, and it teleports you right to the mercy seat of God. This simple truth, it swings wide open the floodgates of heaven's blessings, and it drowns you in God's love and God's grace. This simple truth legitimizes your plea for mercy. God only honors those who gladly receive this truth. But those who reject it, no matter what other holy good truth they embraced, they will be cast into the lake of fire. This truth is simple, but this truth is priceless. This truth worth its weight more than gold. You want this truth. You need to know this truth. What is this truth? It's none other than Jesus to be your priceless treasure, the precious possession of your heart. This truth is that for Jesus to reign supremely as the only delight of your soul, unchallenged and uncontested. If you ever want God to honor your plea to be saved, if you want the iron bars of heaven's gates to be unlocked for you and the floodgates of God's blessing to be swung open to you, Jesus must be received as the only satisfier of the heart. You've got to want Him to be the spouse of your soul. And for the rest of your life, you will want to grow in enjoying Him as the single and the only unchallenged, unrivaled lover of your soul. Let me wave a red flag before your eyes this morning. Let me warn you. Embracing Jesus as the priceless treasure is the most common missing ingredient in our gospel proclamation, and yet I strongly believe it is the foundational truth that our salvation and even your growth hinges upon. Let me explain to you what I mean. When someone says, I want to be saved, I say, well, that's great. What do you have to do? You have to believe in Jesus as your Savior. Well, that's great. Of course He has to be your Savior. But if you only receive Jesus as your Savior, you know what you're doing? You're reducing Jesus to only be a green card out of hell, or just simply an access card that you take into heaven. Swipe open the gates of heaven and we would think that God would accept us. Really? Do we really think that God will honor such faith to reduce Jesus to be only a green card out of hell or an access card into heaven? Of course not. Then you have other people that would say, oh no. Jesus is not to be received as Savior. He's got to be received as Lord. We've got to obey Him. Well, that's great. Of course Jesus is Lord. But again, if you only reduce Him to be Lord, you know what you're doing? You're reducing Jesus to that level of a monster, a dictator who lives in heaven, and you could possibly effectively, what you're saying is that this Jesus, when I receive Him as Lord, I'm just going to obey Him for God to honor my faith. But that Jesus always tells me to do things that I hate doing. And He always kind of gets in the way between me and what I love to do. But I guess, hey, what can I do? You know, this is life. I've got to receive Him as Lord so that God would accept me. Really? Do we think that when we receive Jesus as that monster dictator who rules heaven, that somehow God will say, well, well done and faithful servant, come into my presence? Of course not. Then you get these people, who think that they are clever and they outsmart everyone else, and they would say, no, you've got to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's it, we worked it out. And when they think of Jesus as Lord and Savior, all that they're doing is that they're embracing Jesus as a cruel dictator who also happens to be a green card out of hell. Will God honor such faith? Most definitely no. And not until Jesus is received as your priceless treasure, God would ever honor your faith. Jesus is a priceless treasure, is the very foundational truth. For you to choose Jesus to be your greatest delight, your precious possession, and only upon this truth you could have Jesus as your Savior, such that if there would hypothetically be 9 other Saviors, you would say, no, only Jesus would I choose as my Savior, because He is my priceless treasure. And when He is received then as your Lord, He will tell you anything. And you would respond back and say, with all of my heart, I will obey you. Why? Because I already want Christ to be my priceless treasure. Christianity is a joyful religion. And the reason why it is a joyful religion, it is not a bitter religion, it is because it is founded upon that very concrete, that all foundation, all the pillars and the walls and everything that is built upon is that Jesus is full of pleasures and we receive Him indeed as He is our priceless treasure. So I want to ask you this morning to turn with me to Matthew 13. And we'll only be looking at one verse, verse 44. And as we're reading this, my prayer this morning for you is that your hearts and my heart would burn with fire to love Christ, that would lead us to see Jesus and embrace Him as indeed our priceless treasure, such that this simple truth, this ingredient, would dramatically change our lives. Let's read Matthew 13, verse 44, in ESV so far. All right. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now, what we have here is a parable, and what a parable is, it is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, just to give you a quick background on this earthly story of this parable, back in the days of Jesus, there weren't any banks. There's no way to deposit your finance. And there were walls all over the place. Everywhere there's a wall. Now, how do people end up protecting their wealth? What they used to do is they used to get the treasure chest and they put all their valuable belongings in this treasure chest, whatever you think of. And the wealthier you are, the more treasure you have. And they would put in it their clothes, food perhaps sometimes, and they would put their jewelry in there, and then they get this treasure chest and they would bury it way beneath the surface so no one could see it. And so when wars used to break out, there was a good news and bad news. The good news is that no one will ever find where your treasure is. The bad news, however, if you get killed or get deported to another country, no one will ever know where your treasure is. And your treasure will long be forgotten. And so such is the case in this parable. Treasure hidden in a field. Now, one more thing in this parable is that this man that speaks of that found his treasure, obviously, he's not the owner of the field. That's why he went later on, he wanted to buy that field. And what we need to know is that back in those days as well, there were only two classes in a socioeconomics. There is that high class and low class. There's no middle class at all. And the high class, the owners of fields, they would belong, generally speaking, to the high class. They were the wealthy ones. And the low class, what this servant belonged to, and these are the ones who would barely meet their ends meet. They would just hardly have just enough to survive each day. And now just imagine that one day, this servant would go to the field and halfway through, as he's plowing and digging the ground, and he's just thinking, and he's probably saying to himself, another hot, stinking day. How long am I going to be digging in this ground? And lo and behold, what happens is he stumbles over something. And what in the world is this that he stumbled over? He kind of almost tripped over it. And then he thinks, what is this? Is this an old tree stump? No. Is it a rock, maybe? Then he starts wiping off the dust from the surface, and lo and behold, he finds the treasure chest. And as we will see, that this treasure will dramatically change his life forever. And this man was never the same again, because this treasure revolutionized this man. And as we later see, connect the dots together, we will find that this treasure is nothing, none other, but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Well, the outline for today's sermon. Number one, the kingdom of heaven is the priceless treasure. Number two, hidden treasure. And number three, an all-consuming treasure. So let's start with number one. The kingdom of heaven is the priceless treasure. And as we read that first sentence, and it says, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. So we go back now to the story of this man that found it. He finds it. He opens this treasure chest. And what does he see when he opens it? He would see golden rings, silver bracelets, diamond necklaces, colorful gems with all different types and all different colors and all different varieties. And that all together are sparkling before his eyes. Can you imagine how he would have felt when he saw this treasure? I mean, it would have been a breathtaking scene, wouldn't you think? I mean, his jaw would have dropped right to his feet. And he begins to think to himself, just imagine what I could buy with this treasure. Not a cow, but herd of cows. Not one single sheep, but a flock of sheep. I could buy a mansion with this treasure. If I could just get my hands on this treasure, I will be the most fulfilled person in the world. Why? Because this treasure to this man is priceless. This treasure is invaluable. This treasure deems everything worthless. Because this treasure makes all other possessions look like they're good for nothing in comparison to this treasure. Now, what did Jesus say? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure. In other words, it's the kingdom of heaven that is priceless. It is the kingdom of heaven that is invaluable, and it deems everything else worthless. Because this kingdom of heaven makes all other possessions look like they're good for nothing in comparison to the kingdom of heaven. Now, what makes the kingdom of heaven so treasurable? What is it that makes it so treasurable? Let me tell you, it is none other but the King of heaven himself. Jesus Christ is the treasure of all treasures. Colossians chapter 2 verse 3, it says in Jesus are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All treasures. There is no invaluable treasure that is outside of Jesus Christ. So much so that when the Apostle Paul wanted to pen down his deepest longings, and when he wanted to unleash his yearnings, he said in Philippians, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may what? That I may what? Gain Christ. Christ is the priceless treasure. Let me explain to you why. You know, the Bible says that we're all born in sin, right? Every single one of us. If you look at your spiritual debt, you will find countless number of sins that you commit against God every day. And God has the right to cast each and every single one of us into hell. From the smallest to the greatest of us. From the youngest to the oldest. From the weakest to the strongest. And let me tell you, hell does not discriminate. Right at the gates of hell, there is a big banner and it says on that banner, all are welcome. Doesn't matter what gender or color or language. Now that King of heaven, Jesus Christ, is so treasurable that he offers salvation to those that are beyond any hope of being saved freely. And he grants forgiveness of sins even to the worst of sinners. And that Jesus Christ is so treasurable that he would give eternal life to those that are drowning in their own lustful desires freely because he died on the cross. And if you would come to him, he is so treasurable that he would wipe away your past and he would pave a new life for you. And he shed his blood to take you from under the wrath of God to be under God's mercy and favor forever. From being an enemy of God to being a child of God. Have you ever considered the worth of this king? Think of the price that was paid in order to know the value of this king. It's Christ's blood. How priceless is this blood? How infinitely valuable is that blood? This King of heaven is what makes heaven, heaven. And that King of heaven is what makes heaven priceless treasure. Why? Because the King himself is a priceless King. Now you would think that once people hear this truth, that they would flock to Christ and embrace him as their priceless treasure. But sadly, that's not the case. That's not the case. You know that. This is why the scripture speaks of the kingdom of heaven as a hidden treasure. So we'll come to the second point. The kingdom of heaven is a hidden treasure. So we read here, continuing on with that, still that same sentence in that verse, it says the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. It's buried. It's veiled. It's screened. No one could see this treasure. Now, please note, this treasure is not buried in a backyard-sized block of land. It's hidden in a field. Are we talking about acres of harvesting and plantations? This treasure was not partially visible, it was totally invisible. This treasure is so obscured that it is impossible for you to find it on your own. It is out of your reach. So not only the kingdom of heaven is priceless treasure, but it's invisible to the naked eye, that it has to take God Himself to reveal the immense value of this treasure to your heart. You know, John the Baptist, we know about John the Baptist. He came and he preached to all people, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then Jesus soon after came and he preached the same thing. And you would find in the Gospels, it says that Jesus, when he began his ministry, he said, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now guess how many people believed John the Baptist and Jesus? Very few people that believed him. How is it that Jesus would preach his lungs out until he's blue in the face, and yet not many people see how valuable this treasure is? How is that possible? Why is that? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 11, verse 25. And he says, at that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding. The wise understanding. The treasure, the priceless treasure, is hidden from those that are wise and understanding, and revealed them to the children. Now, who are those that are wise and understanding? It is those that are proud and love their pride and want to stay prideful. It is those that are egotistical. It is those that love their self-righteousness and want to keep holding onto their own self-righteousness. What about those little children? Who are those that are little children that God would reveal this truth about this treasure to them? It is those that are humble at heart. It is those that tried every sinful pleasure and came out convinced that all worldly pleasures are like thorns, and they taste like rotten milk. So what is it that blinds the eyes from seeing the value of Jesus? Let me tell you, it is not your sin. It is your love for your sin. Let me give you an example. A preacher might come to you and would urge you to come to Christ, that He will give you life. That if you come to Christ, you would be satisfied in Him. And that Jesus would take away your worldly thorny pleasures. He would forgive your sins, and He would replace those pleasures with His presence, such that He Himself becomes the source of your joy and not your worldly pleasures. Then you would respond and you would say, I understand what you're saying, but no thank you, I'm not interested. Really? You're not interested? I mean, why? What would hold you back? What would blind your eyes from seeing the dazzling pleasure of having Christ? Money, entertainment, gaming, earthly comfort, hobbies, porn. What would it be that is blinding you from seeing the beauty of Christ? Would you let go of that super abundant, priceless pleasure of knowing Jesus and being with the one from whom all joy are flowing just for some short-lived pleasure? It's crazy. But because it's hidden treasure, some would say, yeah, I would do that. I would do it. No problem. You have no idea what you're talking about. Friends, I want to tell you that all worldly pleasures that you're pursuing are like a colorful flower with sharp thorns. You come to smell it. It will numb your conscience and it will cause your heart to bleed with misery till you die. Only Christ. He stands alone as the satisfier of our hearts. And the scripture makes it absolutely clear. He is meek and gentle, yet He is mighty and jealous God. He is pitiful, yet powerful. And Jesus alone is the sacrificial husband, the loving father, the tender mother, the faithful friend, and the all-powerful Jehovah. And the scripture makes it clear that it is Jesus that is the King of Kings. He is higher above the cloud, and His name is higher above all other names. His glory fills the earth. Mountains melt before Him, and all rivers clap to Him and sing for joy. With one word, all kings will prostrate before Him, and one day all eyes will behold His majesty. Don't you think then, my friend, don't you think that He's able to give you rest when you throw yourself at His feet? Don't you think it makes perfect sense that He is indeed the priceless treasure that can rule out all other treasures in your life? Yet sadly, this treasure, this truth, is hidden from many. Why? Because they're wasting their lives away in gaming and shopping and worldly pleasures, and so they can't see the obvious. That Jesus is indeed the priceless treasure. But not so with this man in this parable. He found that treasure. He dug that treasure. And now he goes with all joy to sell all that he has in order to hold on to this treasure. Why? Because this treasure is the all-consuming treasure. All-consuming treasure. So much consuming that it restructured his priorities. It revolutionized this man's life. And this treasure is priceless. It is hidden. But when you see it, it will consume your life. That's the third point. All-consuming treasure. And we're going to look at the rest of the verse. I'm going to break it down into three sub-points, just to be consistent. Now, the first that will continue on, it says, which a man found and covered up. Now, why did he cover it up? He doesn't want anyone to see it. Once his eyes made contact with this treasure, his heart said, I must have it. I must own it. I will do whatever it takes to hold on to this treasure. And so is the person who finds Jesus Christ as his precious possession. He would say, I must have him. And I will do whatever it takes to hold on to him. And the second part of this, it says, then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has. Not grudgingly, not bitterly. No one comes to Christ with a slouch back, you know, just keeping moving forward to Christ and go, I guess I have to believe. No, you come joyfully. How joyful? How much joy that would drive you to sell all that you have? And this man was ecstatic, was he not? His eyes were lighting up. His heart was pounding. His hands were raised. This man was dancing. His feet were kicking in the air. Why? Because he found the treasure of his lifetime. And I want to ask you, what about you? Have you found Jesus to be the treasure of your lifetime? Can you see the priceless value of trusting Jesus with your life? If yes, then what does the rest of the verse say? It says, he sells all that he has and buys that field. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you can earn your salvation. You cannot buy out Jesus with silver and gold. No way. We can never earn our salvation, forgiveness of sins, or for Christ to dwell within our own heart. But what it means is that this man is now desperate. This man is willing to surrender all passions and anything else that would hold him back from having Christ as his priceless treasure. And this man is now transferring all his desires and all his passions for one single desire and one single passion that would rule all his desires. And that is to have Christ and to desire Christ above everything else. And if you truly found Jesus to be your priceless treasure, you too must want to desire Jesus above all else. And what would your life look like if you do truly desire Jesus above all else? If your hearts are now open and you have seen the beautiful magnificence, the sparkling gems of having Christ, what would your life look like? Now, just imagine with me. Now, it says there that this man covered up the treasure. He doesn't want anyone else to grab it. He goes home. Now, imagine when he goes home, I know it's not in the text, but just hypothetically, he doesn't want to tell his wife, lest that his wife might just go and tell his neighbors. And so he keeps it to himself and he comes dancing, he comes running, he's sprinting home. He's got energy, he just drank, the booze drink. Yep, that's it. And then he runs home. And he knocks and he's got a big smile in his face and his wife would open the door and says, what's wrong with you? Why are you smiling so much? Did you get a raise at work? He goes, no honey, no, I didn't get a raise, but something greater happened in my life. And she says to him, well, what is it? And he would say to her, don't worry about it. We just need to sell anything that we have, can you just remind me, because I can't think properly, what is it that we have? She goes, it's kind of, are you like, did you drink something on your way home? Because you look like, you know, you must have drank something. She goes, no, I didn't drink anything, but I just want to ask you, what is it that we can sell? She goes, well, we've got a sheep. All right, we sell the sheep. She goes, are you mad? Are you crazy? We sell a sheep? Are you saying that we'll only have another animal, just one animal? We have another animal. That's right. We've got a cow. We've got to sell the cow. Sell the cow? Wait, you want us to go to bed without milking the cow, not drinking milk? Oh, we've got beds. We sell the beds. We just have to liquidate everything. We've got to cash it in. Sell the beds? You must be out of your mind. You want us to sleep in that little shed with our bed? Oh, yeah, you're right. We've got a shed. We sell the shed. And that man gives up, joyfully gives up everything, because now he found a treasure that surpasses all treasure. And this man can't stop thinking about that treasure. And he can't wait to run back to the owner of that field and say to the owner, how much? I'm willing to let go of anything to have that treasure. How much? And the owner would say to him, just wait for a couple of weeks. Think about it. It's a bit too much for you. He goes, no, tell me how much. I want it, and I want it now. I want to buy it now. It's priceless to me. And so also, when Jesus is your priceless treasure, you can't stop thinking about Him. You can't stop talking about Him and telling others of Him, such that those that their eyes are blinded from seeing the beauty and the wonderful majesty of Christ, they would look at you and say, I'm looking at a crazy man. I'm looking at a man who gone mad. And you say, you just don't understand, because you don't see what I see. Is this you? What do people think of you when they see you? Do they see wise man, wise woman? What do they think of you? Have you seen the priceless treasure of having Christ in your life? Or are you holding onto something that is infinitely worthless compared to Christ? This treasure, when you know this treasure, you will want to have this treasure. And when you have this treasure, it will consume your mind and your soul. And that is Jesus Christ. Priceless treasure. And when you embrace Him as priceless treasure, then and only then, He will be the right Savior that God wants you to have Him. And He will be the right Lord that God loves you to have Him. And because Jesus is your treasure, you will want Him to define the way you live your life. Where you live will no longer be determined by the weather and the culture and the environment. It will be defined by Jesus Christ, who is your treasure. Where you work will not be determined by how much money you make or how much money you want to make. But it's Jesus Christ. And He will define everything in your own life. What you do with your money, how you spend your spare time, even your own conversations will be filled with Jesus Christ. Not in a grudging way, not in a burdensome way, but in a wonderful, joyful way, because He is your priceless treasure. And you will want to bring all your passions and all your cravings to be subject to that one single passion. Do you enjoy Christ above all things? And so as we come to the end of this message this morning, I plead with you. Open your heart to receive this one missing ingredient that brings salvation to your soul and strength to your spiritual walk. When you receive Jesus as your priceless treasure in exchange of all other pursuits, you know what you're doing? You are trading dirt for diamond. And you're giving up sand for silver and garbage for gold. You are exchanging death for life. For life. And so I urge you and I plead with you as we come to the end of this sermon. Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago. And when He came and had you in mind, He died and rose again. Not so much to forgive your sins and then let you loose like a headless chicken, where you just run around and running after your own purposeless goals in life that mean nothing to God and His kingdom. Jesus came and He died and He rose again to forgive your sins so that He would make Himself that super abundant satisfaction, Himself accessible to you. So that when you believe in Him and repent and come to Him, that He would be your priceless treasure. That is the God that we worship. And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ now reigns in heaven and He has all authority in heaven and on earth. And now there is no sin that is too big for Him to forgive. No vile thought or desire or action that is too great for Him to pardon. And those who repent and come to Him, wanting Him to be their priceless treasure as well as Savior and Lord, He will grant them forgiveness of sins and He will come into them, replace their evil, wicked heart with that perfect heart, such that you will enjoy having Him in your life for the rest of eternity. That is the God that we worship. This is Christianity in a nutshell.